again. I look across the room and see another hottie standing there. Hope she's not Wisconsin, cause I like it.
and all the violence. Fear is such a weak emotion, that's why I despise it. We scared of almost everything, afraid to even tell the truth. So scared of what you think of me, I'm scared of even telling you. Sometimes I'm like the only person I feel safe to tell it to. I'm locked inside of selling me, I know that there's a gel in you. Consider this your belling out, so take a breath and hell a few. My screams is finally getting free, my thoughts are finally getting down.
CKLN listeners, it is the 10th day of February 2011. You are listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening here on CKLN 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. And special thanks to the First Ladies of Soul Overnight, Ms. Natasha Von Collins, and her lovely colleague, whose name I forget. She's so quiet and she's so lovely. She just chills out and radiates warmth and loveliness. And since it's minus 27 with a wind chill outside here in Toronto, it is an absolute pleasure to be in their company, albeit briefly, to switch over shows. So hope you enjoyed our show. Hope you enjoyed these shows. Hope you enjoy CKLN Radio because I got to tell you, to start off the show today with Lupe Fiasco's new single featuring Skylar Grey, Words I Never Said. You can't take back words you never said, and so hopefully everyone out there is considering that. I know, we all hate guilt, and we don't need the hassle, and we don't need the stress, we don't need people talking to us like that, but our inability to sort of, you know, take this stuff straight, like, you know, if we fight for our radio station, then we can probably save it, and, you know, that's about it. Is something that we have to get around. So I'm asking you, I'm appealing to you out there in CKLN radio listener land to check out CKLN.FM online and to see what our options are, including signing the online petition, 5,000 names so far, writing your federal member of parliament or other politicians or other prominent people and asking them to speak up on CKLN radio's behalf, writing to the CRTC directly because they are taking comments as well. And these are the ways that we can save this radio station after 25 years of being on the air, and with community support, obvious, stable, and consistently good programming. You know, we certainly deserve a chance to fill out the dot our I's, cross our T's, and mind our P's and Q's when it comes to what the CRTC wants, and I have full confidence that we will be able to do that. As long as the community supports us, and as long as the community supports community radio here in Toronto and worldwide as an alternative to the mass media. Because to quote Michael Jackson, you know, all he was trying to say was they don't really care about us. And in the video for this song, he's dancing around by a giant pyramid and saying, look, Illuminati, they don't care about us. Wake up, there's a bunch of kids here, we gotta save them. And I was thinking about this recently because I'm trying to figure out exactly what I want to do with respect to my own efforts in this area. I definitely want to be supported by the city. I want to go out there 24/7 this year. I want to be accessible. You can stop me on the street, hit me up for a YouTube video or interview, ask me any questions you want. But I want to put a message out to more people to try and counteract what's been going on out there. With respect to the mass media and the machinations of the New World Order, a group of central banksters and their minions trying to create a permanent scientific dictatorship by culturally lobotomizing us. I was even at an event on Monday night, a few hours after the show, talking about how Parliament really works, put on by Samara Canada. And although there was some good information there, it seems like we're really allergic to the idea of corruption, of actually identifying corruption and dealing with that. But fortunately, the people of Calgary did, and Calgary City Council voted 10-3 to get the fluoride out of their water supply. So to commemorate and celebrate that here in Toronto, where we still fluoridate, even though Vancouver, Montreal, and most of Europe don't, here's a clip from CTV News Calgary.
A big change is coming to your home. You won't see it, you probably won't even taste it, but your water is going fluoride-free. Today, City Council voted to remove the compound from our water supply, ending the latest round in a debate that's been swirling for decades. Chris Epic explains.
For 20 years, there's been something in the water here, but it won't be around much longer.
I'm dumbfounded. But I think many people in Calgary have been lobbying behind the scenes, and these councillors realize that they can't do the visit anymore.
In a 10-3 decision, City Council voted to stop adding fluoride to the water supply. The substance, which helps fight tooth decay, has been coming out of our taps since 1991, following a plebiscite supporting the idea. Most medical professionals wanted the fluoride to stay, saying it fights tooth decay and is invaluable for children whose parents don't make them practice good dental hygiene. Several counselors, however, say the science is inconclusive.
We're not infallible, so I would suggest that until the jury is completely in and we have consensus, which we obviously do not, that we err on the side of caution.
However, Calgary's top doc says the science is clear and fluoride works.
Since 1991, we've had this really quite wonderful community intervention that was bringing a benefit to everybody in our community that drank the water. So I am disappointed.
So are a few counselors. Gail McLeod says too much attention was paid to the potential harm of fluoride instead of the proven benefits.
There was a lot of conversations with respect to how adding fluoride might impact a small minority of people, but I did not hear a whole lot of conversation about how it's helping people.
Chris Epp is live at City Hall tonight. So, Chris, how long will we have to wait until the fluoride is actually removed from our drinking water?
Tom, we're not sure right now, and neither is City Council. The first step is to apply to the province to have the license changed, and that's, I mean, it's the city's call, the province isn't going to stop them, but the actual process of changing the license can take a few months. After that, it's a matter of literally, it's not so much pulling a lever, but actually just stopping to put the fluoride into the water out here. And I talked to a few councillors about that. We're not sure exactly when that's going to happen. The one thing that has to be done is that there was talk of bringing in new equipment, new infrastructure to keep the fluoride system going. Obviously, that's not going to happen right now. So you have basically a window of time from now until that equipment was going to be no good anymore anyway to do it. It probably would have lasted another year or two, but a couple of councillors say they think by the end of this year, that fluoride will no longer be added to our water supply.
All right, Chris, thank you.
We must understand the politics of our community, and we must know what politics is supposed to produce. We must know what politics play in our lives. And until we become politically mature, we will always be misled, led astray, or deceived, or maneuvered into supporting someone politically who doesn't have the good of our community at heart.
And that's right, folks. Hope you enjoyed that clip from CTV News Calgary and the clip from Malcolm X, because from what we know about fluoride, people like Dr. Paul Connett at fluoridealert.org, for people like Dr. Hardy Lineback, the head of University of Toronto's preventative dentistry, is that fluoride is a toxic substance. It is bad for human beings when ingested. Heck, it's bad for us, period, on top of our teeth or whatever. And people go, well, how could they put it in water? Look, they knew, they being the medical and scientific establishment bodies that promote these things, they knew mercury was bad. for human beings when they made mercury fillings. And so they had people, you know, with mercury in their mouths for years, and people who suffer all sorts of mercury poisoning when they try and get those fillings removed through the use of a drill. There's very, very difficult to remove mercury fillings once they're in there, and if you drill into mercury fillings, there's a good chance you'll swallow a ton of mercury. So congratulations to Calgary on getting the fluoride out, 10-3 vote. Their mayor, Naeed Nenshi, was absent from that vote, as well as one of the councillors, and it's one of those surprising things, but, you know, he's a young brown dude, and you want to wish him well, and yet when you talk to people about a lot of the people they like when it comes to politicians who are celebrated by the media, they don't really talk much about what they do. You know, they talk about how cool they are or whatever, but there isn't a lot of what they say to quote. Even with Obama, even when he was on TV for 8 hours a day worldwide, there really wasn't that much to quote about what Obama was actually going to do. And as his campaign promises became more and more watered down until the election happened, and so we can see what happens when it comes to our political discourse. It's stripped of teeth. It's stripped of teeth to tear into the corruption that we know is out there. And flashing back to the meeting put on by Samara Canada and CAP, Citizens for Active Political Participation, Toronto, CAPP Toronto, which was at University of Toronto on Monday evening around 7 o'clock. The Samara Canada study interviewed 65 former members of Parliament and asked them, you know, what they thought of their jobs, you know, how things could be improved. And, you know, what I got from the presentation, what I got from the PDF download at Samara Canada is the idea that these politicians were all sort of hesitant politicians. They didn't really want to get into politics, and they were sort of pushed into it by their friends, that they found the system inside was a bit chaotic. They were freelancing. Some of them were doing it for their interests as they saw fit, given a mandate by the people. Some of them were dealing with people's concerns on a regular basis. But they described a system that was frustrating and chaotic, but not one that was corrupt. And even the questions in the room were, by and large, tailored to the idea that these people were trying to do the best jobs they can, but there was just something in the way, something keeping good ideas from you know, being manifested, from innovations in the parliamentary system from being realized, and they couldn't figure it. Nobody could figure out what that is, and so I brought up the idea and asked a question of Ms. Lote. I said, hey, we've heard stories of Stephen Harper, our Prime Minister for 5 years, centralizing power in the PMO's office, muzzling his MPs and cabinet ministers, so all communications come out of the PMO, the Prime Minister's office. He won the 2008 Code of Silence Award from, you know, Canadian Journalists Association, for being the least accessible Prime Minister, the least accessible public figure. He's our Prime Minister, in years, and so I'm making access to information, tougher to get, and so on and so forth. And I said, so did any of the politicians you talked to speak about corruption at all that they saw in the system? And she basically said, no. And this gets me to the sort of foundation funded model, which almost creates a way of thinking about these things that doesn't allow us to perceive corruption very easily and the extent of corruption. So I'm gonna get into that a bit more on the show, but you know, I kind of left it there. Didn't ask another brief follow up question later. But the bottom line is that the whole room, nobody was really interested in seeing if there was corrupt forces, big corporations, special interests that were manipulating our politicians. Simply that, you know, if we gave them a bit more direction and feedback, then they would, you know, react a little bit better. So there's another group there called Why Should I Care out of Toronto, that has trouble getting people to care. And again, I think they're trying to be nice by not talking about, you know, the New World Order, the shadow government, conspiracy theories that turned out to be true that threaten us all. But at the same time, what can we do to galvanize us if we don't talk about that? So we're kind of in a catch-22. You don't want to talk about it because it's impolite and you don't want to freak anybody out. But if you don't talk about it, then nobody's freaked out enough to really flip out and act. And so I'm going to take a clip from Yuri Bezmenov. interviewed by G. Edward Griffin, talking about how meditation leads to demoralization, breaking down a bit of why the KGB was interested in the New Age movement.
Is too much involved in introspective meditation. You see, if you carefully look what Maharishi Mahesh Yogi is teaching to Americans, is that most of the problems, most of the burning issues of today can be solved simply by meditating. Don't rock the boat. Don't get involved. Just sit down, look at your navel, and meditate. And the things, due to some strange logic, due to cosmic vibration, will settle down by themselves. This is exactly what the KGB and Marxist-Leninist propaganda want from Americans, to distract their opinion, attention, and mental energy from real issues of the United States into a non-issues, into a non-world, non-existent harmony. Obviously, it's more beneficial for the Soviet aggressors to have a bunch of duped Americans than Americans who are self-conscious, healthy, physically fit, and alert to the reality. Mm-hmm. Maharishi Mahesh Yogi obviously is not on the payroll of the KGB, but whether he knows it or not, he contributes greatly to demoralization of American society, and he's not the only one. There are hundreds of those gurus who come to your country to capitalize on naivete and stupidity of Americans. It's a fashion. It's a fashion to meditate. It's a fashion not to be involved. So obviously you can see that if KGB were that curious, if they paid my trip to Hardwar, if they assigned me to that strange job, obviously they were very much fascinated. They were convinced that type of brainwashing is very efficient and instrumental in demoralization of the United States.
Can't search for water, but grow your own food. Tell me what's gonna happen when them stores close. And they ain't gonna open up no more. That's the reality, yeah, you gon' feel that. Hunger's your enemy, but you can't kill that. You gon' wake up, don't join the army. Kill your own people, but fear Illuminati. And they ain't even real, or are they? But you wouldn't even know, because you partake talking much. If you start to doubt, they're already in your mind and coming out your mouth.
And that's right, folks. We are getting indoctrinated into, well, navel gazing, introspection, conversations about nothing. The TV show Seinfeld, you know, was famous for this. And I can't speak specifically to Mr. Seinfeld, but I do know that Kramer, the actor that played Kramer, Michael Richards, was on the cover of a Freemason magazine. I've certainly seen a picture of that. So you can see, you know, what's been planned here. The plan was to, you know, this isn't 200, 300 years ago where most of the population, you know, was sickly, grew to be about 5'3", lived to be about 35, and then died. You know, we've been given, we've been turned into genetic male and female superhumans in this system. And we're able to process immense amounts of knowledge and to meet tons of people, to communicate and to share. And I gotta tell you, we have the opportunity to beat these people. That's why the New World Order, the shadow government behind the scenes, with their networks of think tanks and secret societies and intelligence agencies, is moving to trap us all in a giant police state surveillance grid. They haven't finished putting up all the cameras yet. They haven't finished taking over the internet yet. They haven't finished, you know, destroying our economies yet. But I am noticing, you know, five empty stores here on Queen Street, just east of Spadina, which is unheard of for one of the most popular areas in the city of Toronto, a major metropolitan city. When you see five empty stores in a tourist area in your city, then you have to wonder what's going on. And there are several other closings throughout the city that I see as businesses start to fold up a bit. I estimate about 10% of businesses in this city and in other parts of Canada and certainly in America are close to closing. Walk through the Eaton Center, whole bunch of 70% off signs, 80% off signs. at the stores out there. And they go on for weeks and weeks and weeks. We're now heading into the second week of February here. And so this is well after Christmas when initial recovery sales during a slow period would be warranted. And so what is happening? Well, there is a restriction of credit globally. In a nutshell, the Bank of International Settlements at BIS.org, what they do is they demand all of their member banks, which are pretty much all the central banks in the world, raise their minimum reserves. What banks do is they lend out much more than they have through fractional reserve banking. So even if they get $1 trillion in bailouts, they can lend out 10, 100, or even 1,000 times that much, because this goes back to the days when people brought in their gold and got a certificate for it and traded certificates of gold. And then the banksters realized people weren't coming back for their gold, so they loaned out more certificates than they had gold on hand. And that practice still continues today. So the bottom line is the BIS says, okay, instead of having, 1% minimum reserves, we've got to have 1.5% minimum reserves. And the banks check their balance sheets versus how much they've loaned out and how much they're liable for, and they all scramble to call in loans, and that causes a chain reaction worldwide. So that's the central recession-causing mechanism. And all the other sort of business baby talk that we get is total BS. We're getting cautiously optimistic, sentiments from our media that we're in a recovery, and yet what we see is rising prices everywhere, rising taxes, and a largely unresponsive government spending $1 million, according to Dalton McGuinty, Premier of Ontario, to brainwash us to get us to accept higher energy prices, or at least understand them. So here in the neo-communist kindergarten of Communist Canada, one of the Queen's chief fiefdoms, here as one of the Commonwealth nations. I'd like to break down the people behind this a bit by going into the Franklin scandal and the Franklin cover-up. This is a scandal of a pedophile scandal in Omaha, Nebraska, that was widely exposed, even made some mainstream papers. And this talks about how it was covered up and who's covering it. Because tons and tons of celebrities know, tons of people know. But unless we get to the idea of the character behind the people who run our culture, I'm afraid we won't feel like dealing with it. So let's figure it out.
There was going to be a hearing.
No, that's right, the hearing. Tell us about the hearing.
And to the finders in the CIA, and it was led by a Republican and also a Democrat. And that got quashed, too. So, ultimately, the CIA was able to quash an investigation into the finders by the U.S. Customs Service, by the D.C. police, and also by the Tallahassee police, and they had the juice to quash an investigation by a House subcommittee. So it's a secret that they certainly didn't want to get out there. And what I find amazing is that this story actually did make it into one mainstream publication, U.S. News and World Report, but that was it.
Well, they'd also made it into the Washington Post.
It made it in when the finders were initially busted,
right,
in Tallahassee, it made it all around the country. I mean, it was in the Washington Post.
Yeah, but the deeper story, you're right, the deeper story didn't get into anywhere except in U.S. News, but it did get into U.S. News. It's very true.
And but still, that had absolutely no effect whatsoever. I mean, of course, the CIA disavowed any connection to the finders. And but it's interesting that a number of congressmen worked very hard to get some kind of hearing on this, and there was actually that was quashed too.
So there's a lot of power behind this.
Yes. And,
a lot of power, folks, behind child abuse. What in the world could be going on?
You're listening to Whitley Strieber's Greenland Online.
Well, when you get into Franklin, which is something that...
I was just getting ready. Now it's time to move on from the finders. And let me just set the scene as to where we are right now. There is ample documentation of the reality of the finders, of the existence of the investigation. Nick has in his book all of the documentation from the officials who investigated this case, written down in black and white. The actual documents are there. The finders was real. there was an attempt ultimately on the part of Congress to investigate the finders, but whoever is behind this abuse of children was so powerful that they were able to quash federal investigations, state investigations, and ultimately a congressional investigation. And the instrument that was used for doing this was the United States Central Intelligence Agency, which used its powers under the National Security Act to kill these investigations. That's reality.
We all the same. We all feel it like y'all feel it. I just can't hold a straight face when I see it.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
I'm looking to participate in the south, kicking the fake that's starting to take place in the middle of the street. Little did you know that being all out broke, as soon as you heard it beat, emergency personnel rush to the murder scene, but it's too late, it's absolute pandemonium. You whisked away, and an ambulance is your fate. Nothing nobody told you when you left the house that they could have made you anticipate. So now it's whipping, okay, so the anger dissipates, you get punched in the face, reciprocate. Come on, so what's the deal, riders? Would you excuse me while I feel my nerves? My balls are feeling my mighty fist now. I'm like a pack of dick down, pulling the vibrant, sir. I say, so what's the deal, riders? Would you excuse me while I feel my nerves? My balls are feeling my mighty fist now. I'm like a pack of dick down, pulling the vibrant, sir. You step in the place with an up misplaced, ain't gonna catch a case. Thanks to get it some dick out the gate. Cause I'll fix your ladies, you better go get your mace. Cause shades are so, you may want to pick up the radio and bang it against your face.
And that's right, folks. I gotta tell you, there appears to be ample evidence going back to the 1980s of satanic pedophile cults who are really in charge behind the scenes, guilds of satanic pedophiles out there who abuse children, who dehumanize and traumatize children to create mind control sex slaves for their own pleasure, and as part of a giant dehumanization scheme against them. And what you heard in that clip from Nick Bryant on Whitley Strieber's Dreamland radio show, Nick Bryant being a journalist, one of a few who's covered this case, including the BBC, or the HBO rather, in America, and Senator John DeCamp, who also investigated the Franklin scandal. What they found was that this was in the media. And what happens when things are in the media? Well, we like to cheer. We like to say, yes, it was on CBC. Yes, it was on TV. But what is that? What is that? Why would we do that? Why do we want things in the media? We want things in the media so that they reach a large number of people, so that large number of people can take action. Now, if the media isn't doing the job, Can we take action ourselves to reach a large number of people? And even when the media does reach a large number of people with a crucial story, unless they stay on it like crazy and encourage people to go out and take action, they won't. So the bottom line is, we can't rely on the media and on getting in the media like many groups often do. That's all they try and do, is they try and get the media, try and get a soundbite on CBC or whatever, and try and work within the system. It won't have much impact anyway. You might get some personal satisfaction. You might get some good journalists on the inside to try and put you on. But ultimately, that will not be as effective as people taking to the streets, wherever the hell they live, and putting out some good quality information to stop everything, to get the fluoride out of our water, to give parents the option of legal vaccine exemption forms that many aren't even aware of. And to expose the corruption by the New World Order. You know, we can all say we've got to go at our own pace, but when our pace is in many cases slowing down, we've got to either pick up the pace or find people who can run as fast as the New World Order is running over us. And so on that note, a clip that I saw at Infowars.com from WVEC-TV News in Washington, D.C. on the Department of Homeland Security's See Something, Say Something campaign versus the V for Victory Infowars postering campaign also mentioned.
Congress has questions today about a Homeland Security campaign called If You See Something, Say Something. Critics call it Big Brother is Watching.
13 News reporter Dave Cassidy is live on Capitol Hill for us this morning with more info. And Dave, the government says it's not asking Americans to spy on each other.
That's right, but some groups on the left of Sal and Vanessa really don't like this one. They say they're starting their own V for Victory program because they don't want America to become a police state. The National Football League signed on to See Something, Say Something just in time for last Sunday's Super Bowl, asking fans there to keep their eyes open and tell somebody if they saw something threatening. Walmart has joined in, too, with more than 800 stores playing video messages at checkout counters, urging shoppers to report any suspicious activity. The government says homeland security begins with hometown security, and each of us can play a part by speaking up if we see an unattended bag, for instance, in a public place. But critics say this really amounts to a Big Brother campaign of spying on people. And the critics' websites are full of references to Nazi stormtroopers and government slave masters. Back to you.
Yeah, those are strong words there. Dave, this campaign started after 9/11, right?
Right, it was kind of a common sense response in New York where the transit authority said to its passengers, look, if you see an unattended bag or something else suspicious, tell somebody. And then the federal government heard about it and threw some money at it, and now they're taking it national. To many people, it would just seem like common sense, but to others, it looks like something more sinister. LaSalle, Vanessa.
See something, say something. We're watching. Thanks, Dave. Yep.
We have to defend ourselves. We intend to defend ourselves. We did so in the past, and we're going to do it today, and the day after that, and the day after that. Because only through this proper example of the self-defense and the proper example of retaliation, and by letting these people know that we move from some basic laws, that anything that goes down with oppressed people on the part of the oppressor, it should be reciprocal. And in plain proletarian workers' language, it takes two to tango. As soon as these motherfuckers go, we go.
And that's right, folks. We do have to defend ourselves in the information war. So much stuff has been said, and so much stuff continues to be said out there. But the revolution will not be televised. The revolution can be heard occasionally here on CKLN Radio. As a reminder, go to CKLN.fm to find ways to help save your CKLN radio station. But it's important for us to actually show resistance out there. So again, my plans, I want to raise some money. I want to get out there on the streets 8, 10, 12 hours a day. I want to be flyering. I want to be postering. I want to be networking with groups. I want to be podcasting. I want to be holding meetings at community centers to help explain some of this. I want to be cutting down the crime rates, the divorce rates, the cancer rates. Instead of, you know, hey, what happened to Bob? Oh, Bob got laid off. What happened to Betty? Oh, Betty's got the bad boob. That's right, she's got breast cancer. Instead of that happening, because we just keep running for more screening of earlier and earlier cancers that may not even, or tumors that may not even be malignant cancers yet. And the advertisements. I just saw an advertisement for a cancer charity at a store the other day that literally said this woman had 3 benign lumps removed. She's so glad that there's research in this area. Donate to it. And so they're basically talking about unnecessary surgeries, as many doctors have posited, that our body's going through changes, go through some cancers once in a while, and then fight them off on their own. And so, if you just have more and more invasive screening procedures, you can find tiny traces of cancer that may not actually harm you in a permanent way. So you can look into that more for yourself. Naturalnews.com has a great article on it. Cover of the Metro today says, pucker up, Ontario. Province takes title of the nation's kissing capital, according to the survey. One side of it is stodgy. 83% of those polled say they approve of public displays of affection, beating Quebec by 7 percentage points. Well, we got posters everywhere. There's three lovely young ladies here on the cover. Also, bye-bye, Leaf returns to Ducks. And an incident on the TDC on the next page. Alleged bus rage leaves boys scared. This is the type of thing we're getting. We are all undergoing trauma-based mind control with stories of sex and violence mixed in together to confuse us and to cause mild forms of schizophrenia. And so we're afraid of what other people might say, afraid of what we should say. And here in communist Canada, it becomes tough to communicate about this. But what's next on the New World Order's agenda? What do we have to worry about? Well, you see all the food shows out there, the Food Network and so on? Well, we can expect food riots as the price of food is skyrocketing. It's been skyrocketing worldwide, and we're going to start to feel more of that soon. So this is Max Kaiser and Stacey Herbert talking about fiat food.
We're talking about the global insurrection against banker occupation. Part of the things that bankers have done is create volatility in the major agricultural products and inflation. Here the headline reads, not since Reconstruction have we seen cotton this high.
Yeah, well, that's right. The price of cotton is skyrocketing. It's at a 150-year high. Not since the Civil War and Reconstruction and the carpetbaggers, famous down there in the South of America, has cotton been so high. And as I've been saying on this show, Stacey Herbert, before long, the number one employer occupation in America will be cotton picking. And they're going to, of course, sing those old spirituals, like Jump Down, Turn Around, Pick a Bag of Cotton, and others.
Well, another part of the reason is you see this inflation hitting China as well. Chinese take a cotton to hoarding. Apparently, farmers in China are hoarding their cotton up to 9% of the world's cotton supply. And the reason being that they're holding out for higher prices, even though they're at 150-year highs. They're aiming to help overcome higher costs of labor and fertilizer. The cost of fertilizer, for example, is up 20% in the last year. So they're not covering their costs, even with cotton at 150-year highs.
Right. Well, fertilizer, of course, is a chemical petroleum-based product, and the price of oil is skyrocketing as well. It's important to keep in mind that the reason these prices are skyrocketing is not because of increased demand on the side of the user. It's not because suddenly there's a demand for food and oil. The reason the prices are going high is the supply of cheap money that was thrown into the system after the credit crash of the 2007-2008 period. And the banks on Wall Street told the Federal Reserve, we need money to pay our yacht payments. And we can't get it because the system is frozen. Can you please give us $2 trillion? And Ben Bernanke said, okay, here's $2 trillion. So the bankers on Wall Street could pay their yacht payments. But it had the perverse effect of feeding speculation in agricultural commodities and cotton to the point where it's starving people in these countries. So once again, to give you the formulation, Wall Street bankers fed starving people. Fed gives the money to the bankers who make their yacht payments, but it has the perverse effect of starving people around the world. So Wall Street bankers are starving people, like Jamie Dimon is committing murder. He's killing people.
So the starving people are not fed because of the Fed.
That's right. The Fed is causing people not to be fed.
Well, we've always talked about how inflation, it helps the rich because, of course, they own the assets into which a lot of the money goes, but also they get money for 0% from the Fed and then are able to speculate on all sorts of products.
Just quickly, think of it as a river. You know, the river flows down. So the Fed creates a flow of cash, and the people that live near the Fed, like on Wall Street, that they get the fresh water, the clean water, and if you live downstream, you get the dirty water, and that's what happens in the global financial market.
And it increases the price of agricultural products, i.e. food. And we see that related to these headlines, these charts, actually, to show you what the difference between the revolutions happening in the Middle East and why no revolution has yet happened in Asia. So if you take a look at this wheat chart, you'll see it's rocketing. And then take a look at the rice chart, you'll see that that's not gone up nearly as much. So because rice has not gone up, the main staple of the peasant in Asia, you're not seeing as much, perhaps, yet strife.
Right, but the whole commodity complex is moving higher due to this incredible influx of money that's been directed by the bankers for the bankers at the exclusion of the rest of the global population. They're willing to...
The prospect of domination of the nation's scholars by federal employment, project allocations, and the power of money is ever present and is gravely to be regarded. Yet in holding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite. It is the task of statesmanship to mold, to balance, and to integrate these and other forces, new and old, within the principles of our democratic system, ever aiming toward the supreme goals of our free society.
And We're back.
I'm more than just an option.
Hope you enjoyed that little quick slice of Max Kaiser and his co-host Stacey Herbert talking about food there. There's much more to that story, including the Chinese actually engineering plastic rice. the rice that they were making for a particular batch by a particular company was laced with plastic and was toxic to anybody who ate it. It was a warning that it would be toxic based on people who knew what went into the rice. But these are the corners that they're cutting. This is globalization. Globalization is creating slave classes and then getting the rest of the world to chase that model as the most profitable and efficient. So, and Jacques Attali, who's a globalist, he's an author, he's a predictor of the future. He talks about how one day people from the West will be going overseas to find jobs. They'd be going to China, they'd be going to India to look for work, and they'd be migrating worldwide because there wouldn't be any jobs left in America and in North America. And in fact, we can start to see that happen as more and more people talk about how people are doing this. People are going overseas, people are going to India, people are going to China, people are learning Mandarin and Cantonese to look for a job out there. So, you know, I got to tell you, this is the situation we're in. This is the year 2011. You know, I'd love to do things like, I'd love to get out there, I'd love to lace a bunch of homeless guys with flyers. So whenever you put them a loonie or a toonie, they can get a little piece of paper with some information on it. Something about GMO foods, something about, you know, vaccines, and about fluoride, something about, you know, some other factoids, something about investing in silver. Let's arrange for a bulk buy of silver in this city so that people who can't afford it, maybe if we buy 10,000 silver ounces or something, we could drop the price from 30, 35 bucks an ounce down to 20, 25 bucks an ounce and give people some financial security. And I'd like to make sure that we don't hear stories of, oh, little Johnny's doing so well in class, the other kids aren't that smart. Well, to be proud of little Johnny, but, you know, at some point you got to be concerned about the other kids, or little Johnny ain't going to have any friends when he grows up. So definitely something to consider there. Alex Jones is exposing the See Something, Say Something hoax, and, of course, the Obama White House takeover of the Internet. I saw an article yesterday, How to Survive an Internet Blackout, on my Yahoo.ca main page, and then I clicked over to the article. It said, Egypt, blizzards, and more, and told us, giving us some advice, mainstream news advice on how to survive an Internet blackout. After warnings for a few years, we are in the age of potential Internet blackouts. Because they're being sold by the mainstream media. A lot of us knew about Internet 2. You can go to internet2.edu to see a consortium of 200 universities and businesses working together to create a, quote, faster and more secure Internet. Basically, a Facebook-style login, regional access only, and charging you for access and usage, and taking away the free Internet that created so much innovation that we've benefited from in the last few years. And so that is the plan coming up, and that is why we definitely have to get active online and offline to make connections where we live until we actually get in the mood to pester our politicians. The one thing I did get from the presentation by Samara Canada, which I enjoyed otherwise, on Monday, was that MPs do enjoy it when you write to them. They do. Politicians do appreciate well-written letters. If it's just cranky complaints, they don't care. If you just write them angry stuff, they brush it off. But the most important thing is, how do we get people in groups to form their own special interest groups? Because they have a special interest in their health, in their wealth, in their relationships, and in their future. And they feel that their politicians on the inside can do something about that. They already handle tons of things like, you know, they spend 70 to 80% of their time handling immigration concerns, landlord disputes, and all sorts of things like that. If we bug them about what the New World Order is up to, then perhaps we can get them to test all the products that come into Toronto, for example, or into any other city, wherever you live, wherever your politicians are, to make sure we don't get accidentally a batch of melamine-laced milk, or plastic Chinese rice, and so on and so forth.
But yeah, we're kind of in the middle of it right now. We also, of course, need to reject the global warming scandal and all the sustainable development stuff, the whole idea that we have to make do with less. I got to tell you something. If we give it all up, if we decide to agree to use less because billionaires and their minions and media arms tell us so, if we give it all up, is there any guarantee that we'll get it back? Is there any guarantee that Canadians who used to buy a house and then think of buying a cottage and now just worry about, you know, buying a house or even affording their condo, is there a guarantee we can get back to where a country of 30 million people in the second largest country in the world, full of resources, can actually use them, can actually benefit from them, can actually not see things like child poverty, like homelessness, like economic worries for anybody here. We got the population of Mexico freaking city in this country. So it's important for us to figure that out. And what are our options? Well, guns or no guns, we can't rely on that because, you know, the feds got bigger guns, and if they brainwash their soldiers, spooks, and troops into taking us down, then we'll have some issues. Well, I got to tell you something. I'm gonna go to another quick clip here of host Peter Lavenda on Whitley Strieber's radio show and Nick Bryant, and what he talked about when he discovered the fact that there were satanic pedophile cults behind the scenes who get their rocks off by abusing children and who are in turn dehumanized and easier to control by their masters and by their handlers. And what do you do when you're confronted with that information? You know, it's like even right now, to mention something negative to someone that still has a positive ending, the idea of mentioning the negative itself is something that we're discouraged from. And so that doesn't lead us to coming up with solutions. But the bottom line is there is the information war out there. And no matter where you are, as it says here on the Toronto Star at thestar.com, Ford targets jobs for life security with city unions. And so Mayor Rob Ford is saying the City of Toronto negotiators will push hard to strip city workers of jobs for life contract guarantees, says Councillor Doug Ford, setting his brother's administration on a collision course with the city's union. We got a cost-cutting mayor. He was not the front runner in the election race, but he came out of nowhere to take the city by storm. Why was that? Why was the media behind him? And how do we keep him and keep our city council honest? They're guaranteed four-year jobs. They're making at least $100,000 a year, plus the perks and connections that go with being in a job like that that allow them to leverage that income. How do we keep them honest? How do we bug them? How do we work with them or work on them to make sure we can get what we want in the city and protect ourselves from the effects of globalization? And how do we feel better knowing what's going on? We can try and ignore it. We can try and play it cool. But every time we get kicked in the sack, by our media and by our governments and by bad policies, and we don't react, that simply normalizes that. So, like Michael Jackson says, he's asking you to stare at the man in the mirror. He's asking you to make a change. I think here on potentially the last show of Rood Awakening, of my Rood Awakening on CKLN Radio on air, I'd like to help share ways how.
I realized pretty early on that I was going to have to really try to keep a spiritual stasis throughout this investigation, because I've gone into some very dark, dark, dark corridors, both physically and emotionally, with this story. And I've certainly taken a lot of heat with it, too. So I just felt a lot of times in life you don't know exactly what the right thing to do is. And a lot of times in life you know exactly what the wrong thing to do is. But a lot of times in life you just don't know exactly what the right thing to do is. And I really believe, and I've written a lot in children's issues, when I realized that this was a reality, I just felt like exposing it was categorically the right thing to do. And that's what gave me a lot of strength to keep going throughout this investigation, is because the government shouldn't be aiding and abetting industrial child abuse. And that's what I firmly believed then, and that's what I firmly believe now. So I never... It wasn't one of those situations where I felt ambivalent, like I could be doing the wrong thing. And that gives one a tremendous amount of strength.
But I wish to go on now to say something even more disturbing. The war in Vietnam is but a symptom of a far deeper malady within the American spirit. And if we ignore this sobering reality, we will find ourselves organizing clergy and layman concern committees for the next generation. They will be concerned about Guatemala and Peru. They will be concerned about Thailand and Cambodia. They will be concerned about Mozambique and South Africa. We will be marching for these and a dozen other names and attending rallies without end unless there is a significant and profound change in American life and policy.
And we're back, folks, and that doesn't just include America, that includes Canada. And that gives you an idea of the narrative that we're talking about here. That was from a speech called Beyond Vietnam, given by Martin Luther King in 1967. And I'd like to remind people out there, before Monsignor William Watsoni, a.k.a. the great Bill Watson, takes you on a four-hour jazz bungee experience that you will not forget, I'd like to remind you out there that we've pretty much forgotten about the wars taking place in our name in Iraq, Afghanistan. They're not part of our conversation. They're not part of our karma. They're not part of our understanding of the world. And they don't, because we don't know what's going on over there, we have no idea how corrupt our leaders are and how much danger we're in from them ushering us into the New World Order. But at the same time, we also have options in the information war. You heard the clip of the Alex Jones V for Victory campaign being covered by the mainstream media. And I know for a fact that if we get active and we give journalists a good reason to cover us and they think we're on the level, then many times they'll do their best out there. So, I'd like to remind people to check out my website, whatyouwantabelievein.com, a number of others that I'd like to shout out here at the end of the show. Congratulations to Calgary again for getting the fluoride out of their water supply. And here from theglobemail.com, think tanks targets StatsCan's falling crime rate claim. And so there are think tanks out there publicly. Everything is being normalized. It's being normalized for us, the role of think tanks and the role of massaging public opinion. And we can't just go along with how well we've been played. You know, we can't just talk about, oh, Obama's a great politician, oh, Harper's very politically savvy. We can't just admire people for being politically savvy. And also, you know, men out there. And you know, Alan Watt, I interviewed back in 2007 from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com. I asked him, why do you do this? And he says he does this for all the kids out there who can't fight back, for all the people that can't fight back, and for the next generations coming up who have no clue what they're in for. I think we should take the same attitude. Guys out there aged 25 to 45 should man up on behalf of women, children, and the elderly. And that's a no-brainer. That's a nothing. And they will appreciate that, and we will be appreciated. And for guys out there who are just swanging off another dude's jock watching sports, keep in mind how that is meant to make you feel like less than a man by having you do nothing but celebrate another man's exploits. Get out there and get active in the InfoWar. Have some guts to say something at this time of history. You know, you can't take away words you never said, as Lupe Fiasco said to start the show. And how can you be forgiven for that? And this is just a general admonition. You'll hear this from other quarters. You'll hear this because for over 50 years now, people have been trying to expose the New World Order. Everyone who's discovered the fraud of central banking, everyone has known this recession was going to be upon us. Everyone has known that there was going to be a world government run by the United Nations, a dictatorial, scientific world government to manage the population of the entire planet by around the year 2012, has warned us of this time in history. As we see consolidating media, threats here to CKLN radio, threats to our internet access, threats to our health, threats to our future, threats to our jobs, it will be difficult for us to simply sit back and enjoy life as much as possible unless we do something about them, unless we feel our co-Jones and get active in the information war.
Fluoride as a major
industrial air pollutants. In fact, the leading air pollutants in the aftermath of the Cold War. Those are not my words, those are my opinions. That's a quantitative assessment by industry experts of the scale of the lawsuits today we're facing.
You don't like it, do something, nigga. Where I'm from, we don't like it, we do something, nigga.
And we're back, folks. Just a few websites to shout out before I leave you with Mr. William Watsoni, a.k.a. the great Bill Watson. It's been a slice. I do hope this is not the last CKLN Rood Awakening show you will hear on this radio station, but the official end of our broadcast is Saturday, February 12th at 11:59 p.m. is when we're supposed to go off the air. So do check out CKLN.fm online. Do pass on the word that we want people to sign the petition, contact their politicians, and write to the CRTC directly to express their concerns and about the hastiness of this decision, which even CRTC Commissioner Louise Poirier, who was also one of the dissenting opinions in this decision, strongly disagreed with and said was unprecedented in recent CRTC history. This raised over 50,000 people in Toronto. We'd like to continue operating for them and doing a better and better job and the best job we can. So again, check out CKLN.fm online for more on that. Great websites out there to shout out include Infowars.com. Things are hitting the fan left, right, and center right now. A bunch of this was written down under Bush. A bunch of it's being rolled out under Obama. And with the deals merging Canadian and American border security and the deals for privatizing and building North American infrastructure out there, the North American Union, as part of unifying this part of the hemisphere and then merging and squishing us into a world government later, are taking place right under our noses, and we can see bits and pieces of this dribbling out in the media. How much do we care that we're sharing security policies with the United States government? You know, what do we care or do we not care? That's going to be something that we have to express. Do we care about our sovereignty? Check out Infowars.com for a bit more on that. Check out NaturalNews.com, excellent health information out there. Check out Mercola.com, excellent health information. VigilantCitizen.com, amazing information on our pop culture industry and how it's controlled. BRAN.org for legal vaccine exemption forms. You don't have to get shot. Pass it on to other parents. Don't make a big deal out of it, because we don't like it when people make a big deal out of things that are serious. But do find a way to pass on a little piece of paper or a website. Scribble something down so people have the option. They know there are free legal vaccine exemption forms out there, so they don't have to shoot up their kids and then mildly retard their kids and then not enjoy them as much as they should have, as little reflections of them. Go to fluoridealert.org. They'll have more information on the story of Calgary. Editorials already being Orwellized. I saw one in the Calgary Herald saying why getting fluoride out was the right thing to do from googlenews.ca, and then I clicked over and it said, sorry, article not available. So they do not want this story to get out there. Montreal, Vancouver don't use it. Most Europe doesn't use it. Toronto, Ottawa, and other cities that do use it don't have to and shouldn't have to. Save the tax money and improve our health. Seedsofdeception.com to look into GMO foods and the non-GMO shopping guide. We can make better buying choices out there, although we can't just spend our way into better health in this economy. We have to fight the new world order and demand better choices and better options than we're currently getting. Locally, you can go to press4truth.ca, pressfortruth.ca. New film, Into the Fire, coming out soon about Toronto G20 martial law. And their film, United We Fall, is at a film festival in Wisconsin right now, so definitely check that out. You can also go to TorontoTruthSeekers.com for fellow truth seekers networking on these issues here in Toronto. Go to ConspiracyCulture.com, book and DVD store out there at Queen and Roncesvalles. Great place to pick up some stuff. Victor Fletcher's Toronto Street News as well. Toronto G20 Exposed.com. Great place to see a movie on the Toronto G20 martial law again. NAUResistance.org for more on how a North American Union is being created here that we have to resist to preserve our sovereignty. Remember what it means to be Canadian, folks. Remember what it means to be Canadian. Remember what it means to be a human being, to be an adult with responsibilities for people that are not as capable as you are. And remember, we have options in the information war. Pass on DVDs, pass on flyers, call on a talk radio, make a blog, do something, wear a t-shirt, hold up a sign, but most importantly, find ways, when you're not practiced at it, to organize your thoughts until you can feel your creativity and your passion on these issues, and then share that with someone to inspire them to do the same. We're in rough waters, folks, but we are optimistic because we do have options, and that'll do. And that'll do here in the 21st century as long as we do something with it. I'm out of here, folks. Have a fantastic weekend. It's been your host, BK, a.k.a. VJ, for Rude Awakening on Mondays and Thursdays. We hope to see you next week.